Trigger warning. This episode is trigger warned for mentions of child sexual assault, workplace harassment, and exploitation. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome back, my orchids. It is I, your gracious, audacious, beautiful hostess with the mostest, Fluid Flower, and we are back with another episode of Fluid Thoughts. Okay, so let me explain myself. I know I've been gone for like a month, and I'm like a month behind episode, but here's why. I went to the doctor to do my 3-month diabetic checkup, and when I tell you I'm so happy to report that all my labs are looking good, my A1C is down to 6.9, I couldn't be more happy. But I strive for perfection literally all the time. And that happens, when that happens, I kind of like set unrealistic goals for myself. And I'm realizing I need to try this thing called moderation. You just got to do what you can do. And to be honest, that's really hard. And I've talked about this before on the show. And I have to like understand that this stuff, this shit that we call life, is truly a journey and not a destination. And that's a really hard concept for me to grasp. So I came back from the doctor and I had low blood sugar and I didn't have any energy. I couldn't eat or drink and I was dizzy. And then out of nowhere, I just had gas pain. Let me tell you something. I have never been more happy to fart before in my entire life. I farted so much, I pretty much contributed to climate change because the amount of methane gas that was released from my body, girl, Shell, BP, Exxon, they had shit on me that day. Couldn't hold a candle to me. And like the worst part was like the headaches and the subsequent pain felt and left by the gas. Like I was just so confused. And I was like, why is this happening? Like I had a great day, all because I did a blood draw. All of a sudden, like my body is just like in shambles. And it's just absolutely insane. And so like getting low blood sugar, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to recover in one day. It turns into like 2 to 3 weeks of like staying in my bed for the most part. And each time I get knocked down because of illness, it's a sharp reminder that I am disabled. I didn't even start to consider myself disabled until I started engaging with socialist politics and understanding of what disability actually looks like for me. So what happens is I'll try to push myself past my limits and then I'll get like analysis paralysis, right? Like not knowing what to do and giving myself anxiety by thinking and overthinking and overanalyzing until finally I just say to myself, okay, girl, just get your ass in a bed and lay down and we'll figure it out from there. And then when I thought I had enough strength to do the episode, I was like mentally overwhelmed. I literally felt like my brain was gonna break if I had put out like a quick shitty episode that week. So I said, look, stick to the formula. Script your show, do it properly, take your time. It's gonna take longer, but just do what you can do. And I say all that to say, this is what life is. Like life is disability, life is hardship, life is happiness, but you just have to take your time. We will get there when we get there. Slow and steady wins the race. And with all that being said, bitch, have no fear. Mother is here. Now let's get into the show. What the fuck is actually going on? Why are y'all sacrificing your children for capitalism? Okay, this episode is going to be really hard for me to talk about because I want to talk about the Quiet on the Set series. If you haven't seen the docuseries Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, it's a 5-part series talking about the behind the scenes abuses suffered by child actors who worked on Nickelodeon TV shows in the 90s and early 2000s. This series for me already confirmed what I knew about the industry, but it still shook me to my core when I watched it. The biggest thing that stuck out to me was not only like the actual abuses that took place and how people are really harming these children, but how literally there is a system that is designed to silence victims and protect predators. And in light of seeing this series, I think we need to get to the bottom as to why people feel the need to pimp out their fucking children. In my personal opinion, we have all been indoctrinated to sell our bodies for capitalistic labor, right? When a dominant group controls the wealth, the jobs, the access to food and medicine, the people are controlled and they effectively have like no collective power, or really we have not organized our collective power. And I'll talk about that later at the end of the episode. But the people who are being controlled, who are dominated, they begin to do whatever they need to do to survive or try to attain the lifestyle that is set by said dominant group. The value system of capitalistic society is quite literally determined by the amount of profit a group of people or a person can make. So when the value of humanity is based on how much money that they can bring to the table, the world stops seeing them as human. These parents, and listen, I'ma just say this because I know a lot of times people say, oh, we shouldn't judge parents for how they raise their children. Parenting is hard. Bitch, I don't give a fuck. All those parents who brought their children to Dan Schneider's lion's den should be fucking ashamed of themselves. Three, not one, not two, but three pedophiles were on set with these children. One is enough, bitch. Like, okay, let's get into it. Brandy's mama, let's talk about her. So Brandy's mother, the grandmother, so Brandy's mama's mama, she didn't let Brandy be an actress, or Brandy's mama, Brandy's grandmother did not let Brandy's mother be an actress because she told her, she said, it's a lot of shit going on. A lot of foul sexual shit happening on these sets. The grandmama was a lawyer for one of the studios and knew about how the Hollywood weirdos got down. So now the mama directly, Brandy's mom, directly put her child in danger because she wanted to live vicariously through her child. She opened her wrinkled mouth and said, oh, well, I wanted to do it. So I thought, it wouldn't it be cool if my kids got to do it since I didn't? Ma'am, my question to you is, what is going on through your brain? If you had secondhand accounts through your own mother of what was going on in these sets, why would you want to risk exposing your child to that? What benefit do you gain as a parent to immediately start putting your child to work, especially if you're not living in precarity, especially if you are like, you can put food on the table every day? And to me, as I'm watching it, and I could be wrong, but these people roughly seem to be a part of the middle class. They may not have been uber rich, but it didn't seem like they were struggling. And so, like, even Drake's daddy, right? Drake Bell's father, he was so concerned about making his child's dream come true, right? That you were putting him in harm's way. The idea that children should be working instead of being children is inherently capitalistic. A human child whose brain isn't even developed yet, and you're making them work 9 to 5? Drake Bell's father said that Drake would go to school from 8 to 3, and when he picked him up at 3:30, they were going to auditions until 11 p.m. Why? What purpose does that serve other than your child being a money mule? I'm so country. These children were exposed to sexual violence, racism, sexism, grooming. If the environment is toxic to adults, then there's no way a child would come out unscathed. Let's think about this for a second. Drake Bell's father said to his mama, keep that man away from my son. And this unscrupulous bitch literally, quite fucking literally, delivered her son on a silver platter to a predator. The only motivation that would make you think putting your child in harm's way is okay, or rather risking your child's safety, is that you were motivated by capital. These people wanted the money. They wanted a more comfortable position on the totem pole of life. What do you mean that you allowed a grown-ass man to have your daughter's email, Brandy's mama? In what fucking world is it appropriate for a 30-year-old man to be friends with an 11-year-old girl? Capitalism literally rots your brain. These parents started to remove their own morals just to get closer to the idea of success. And if my memory serves me correctly, Brandy was only cast for one show. And then you as the mom was like, yeah, let me allow this man to have my child's email. Huh? Girl, I'm sorry, but fuck you. Like, please, like, I don't care if that's harsh to say about a parent, because like, why are y'all having kids if you're not going to protect them? She said when she saw that that man sent her child a new picture of himself, that she didn't report it to the police because she didn't want people to think she was a bad mom. Babes, by you not reporting it, it does make you a bad mom. And this is why I'm coming off so strong about this. I am a survivor of child sexual assault. I have no grace. I have no forgiveness for these parents or these studios, because ever since watching this documentary, I have been actively praying for the downfall of Hollywood. How many stories are there that we don't know of? The crimes of Weinstein, Cosby, R. Kelly, Roman Polanski, Diddy? Diddy the diddler? All them times when he said, "I thought I told you that we won't stop. I thought I told you that we won't stop." Well, nigga, maybe you should have stopped. Maybe you should have ceased and desisted, my guy. Like, what the fuck is going on? Because here's my other issue, girl. If we desire, right, to see a better world where people are not preyed upon for the sexual gratification and conquest of others, we not only have to call out the evil, but we also have to shift our values that center community. It's not enough people in those rooms that were thinking about the well-being of those children, and the ones who did were ousted. Think about it. Let's look at the example of the only two women writers who had to share a salary, whatever the fuck that was, on one of Dan Schneider's shows. This woman said she was willing to share her salary because it was her dream job. She took the abuse from this man because it was her dream job. This man demanded that people give him massages while they were on set, and not a single person or group of people rallied together and said, "Bro, we're gonna beat your motherfucking ass if you do this creepy ass shit again." Not a single person had the courage, not even the executives who, by Dan Schneider's own account, knew what was going on in his sets. Why? Because they all wanted money. When the women writers gave their accounts about how Dan liked to joke around by having people humiliate themselves, why is no one in the room stomping him the fuck out? It is because we are conditioned by the evilness of corporate culture, politeness, and fear. Nobody wanted to lose their job and risk being out in the street. I understand that. But at some point, your humanity has to activate. And your humanity has to activate to the point and say, this is fucking wrong. These people are talking about dream jobs. Baby, these are nightmares. Because ain't no way when you were growing up and you dreamt about being a writer, these disgusting behaviors were popping up into your dreams. Mind you, I'm not judging these women. I'm not judging them at all, because I'm about to share my own account in a little bit. But I'm just pointing out the horrific culture of that workplace. The part that got me the most was when Dan Schneider said to the lady, he gonna say to her, "Wouldn't it be funny if you bent over the table and pretended to be sodomized?" Bro, why are people not throwing tomatoes at you at the fucking town square? Bring back tar and feathering. Draw and quarter him, please. Oh my fucking gosh. And the reason why this isn't happening, and the answer is simple. We're all wage slaves. We are the techno-feudal peasants of the future, afraid to lose our jobs because the company town built by Amazon might lay us off and evict us and put us out into the street. We are conditioned by capitalism to never challenge the status quo. We are taught that some people have power and others don't, and that's just the way it is. This is false. And all of this is fucking fake. No human being should have dominion and power over another. I think fundamentally we all know that, but it's beaten out of us. We are worn down by the toxicity of office and corporate culture to not even have enough energy to fucking fight back. And these abusers, these predators who run our workplaces, they fucking know that. Even in the way the documentary was made, was predatory. It is the very machine of Hollywood that allows us, for both the viewer and the producer, to in some ways become cannibalistic as they devour and consume the trauma of others, simultaneously eating away at our own humanity. Raquel Lee Belleau, I hope I said her name right, a former child actress from The Amanda Show, made a TikTok video recently explaining her anger at the producers about how they essentially discarded her after they got what they wanted. These people are asked to relive their traumatic experiences. They are asked to open old wounds that are still painful and emotionally damaging. To directly quote from one of the videos that she made, she states, and I quote, "Let me tell you what my problem is with this industry. Quiet on set did the same thing that the industry always does. They get what they want from you and then they're done," end quote. And I agree. These producers are essentially using trauma to get clicks and likes and streams. I wonder if there was any aftercare or therapy provided for these former child actors after they did their interviews. To talk about patterns of abuse on camera that a person may or may not have received therapy for is beyond triggering. I would go as even far as to say that the way that these investigative documentaries are produced is dehumanizing. There are people who do nothing all fucking day but consume the trauma of other people. I even saw on my own personal scrollings of TikTok when this shit was like trending and whatnot. The fact that it's even trending is a problem. But I saw people commenting and spectating, tagging Amanda Bynes, demanding that she share her stories and her trauma. Excuse me, what the fuck are you people actually fucking doing? Why is it so easy for people to forget that people are actually people? Where are y'all mamas at? I think one day I'm going to have a serious conversation on this platform about the nature of consumption and the demand within a carceral capitalistic society, because people's traumas should not be for your own personal entertainment. That type of depravity is a part of white supremacist culture. And to be quite fair, it's a specific group of 8.5 by 11s that do this shit more often than others. Hint, hint, it's the same demographic of people who binge watch true crime and make entire podcast episodes and shows off of unsolved murders. These are also the same people who literally fantasize about being abducted and do weird shit like fake their own kidnappings. Here's a snippet of the LA Times article written by Nathan Solis. Quote, Sherry Papini disappeared from her Northern California neighborhood in November of 2016, but she made it home in time for Thanksgiving. Missing for 22 days, Papini reappeared bruised, branded, and emaciated. Her blonde hair was sloppily cut. She claimed two Latinas had kidnapped her at gunpoint and held her captive before having a sudden change of heart and releasing her, end quote. So I bring that up to say, I want you to understand that these are the same people who have this pathology. They're the same ones who are making these kinds of documentaries. Because even in their big reveal interview about who the star was going to be, they're going to talk about their abuse, it was Drake Bell. Drake Bell himself pleaded guilty to felony attempted child endangerment and a misdemeanor charge of disseminating matter harmful to juveniles. He was sentenced to 2 years probation on child endangerment charges relating to a girl who met him online and accused him of sexual contact after she attended his concert when she was 15, according to an article of the Associated Press. Y'all, this is the beast. This is the vicious cycle of capitalistic exploitation. Victims are harmed or exploited. The abuser is protected by the industry after years of public outrage and evidence is finally resurfacing after years of hush money and attempts to silence victims. The industry, and this is any industry, they conduct an internal investigation where they give us fake accountability and empty gestures of symbolic nothingness. There's a fall guy who was blamed and he may or may not be removed. Then after years of silence, a movie or a TV show is made where the victims have to relive their trauma all over again. And they rarely ever receive justice. Wash, rinse, repeat, like fucking clockwork. Watching this series not only triggered me about my own assault that happened as a child for a number of years, but also the subsequent harassment that I experienced from men in my community and in my own workplace. I've told y'all the story about how that man at my last job was sexually harassing me. If you didn't know, it was an old ass black man who I would refer to as Uncle Ruckus, because this black man was from Mississippi. He was a staunch Christian conservative who hated black folks. And although I've told the story before, I want to talk about what was said to me when I was telling people how uncomfortable this man was making me at my job. I will start off by saying I don't blame people for what they said to me in terms of them not giving me the support that I needed, because everybody truly is not able to do that. I recognize my emotional intelligence and my high impact of empathy. And sometimes like I'll go into these situations where I expect other people to do that for me, but I only got 3 to 4 soulmates and they know who they are. And those are the only people I know that I can call for help and whatnot. So when I'm telling my coworkers all the stuff that's going on, I'm like genuinely pissed at their reactions to this. Because when people are solely focused on money, that is a type of soul rot that needs serious decolonizing, cleansing, and purification by fire in order to be fixed. I had coworkers telling me, oh, just ignore it. Don't worry about it. The economy is so bad right now. You don't want to start the process of looking for another job, do you? Oh, well, he's just lonely. And I think he just wants to be your friend. Besides, HR will fire you if you... Oh, now hold the fuck on, bitch. What the fuck you mean HR will fire me if I report harassment? They were telling me stuff about how women at the company reported harassment. And for context, they did report the harassment coming from their managers. So I suspect it has more to do with the hierarchy, but also that literally like makes it worse. But these women at this company I was working at would report harassment to HR, and the next couple of days they will be terminated. It would essentially boil down to he said, she said. And since he was like an integral person at the company, they were most likely going to let me go and not reprimand him for anything other than a get back to work. This man literally made fetishizing comments about my body, told me that he likes plus size women over skinny women. Not only did he once describe to me in fucking detail that he would go to pajama parties, which I fully suspect that was his way of sharing with me that he went to fucking orgies. He went into detail about how he would be beckoned and catcalled by these women at these plus size pajama parties and how he always left with a hot day. Sir, this is a Wendy's. Get your horny ass away from my fucking desk. I literally lost it when one day I was like cleaning up the kitchen because I was the office manager, and this man crept up behind me and he put his penis on my arm, y'all. I wanted to fucking jump out of the window. Thank God that one of the VP of sales was in the kitchen to witness that, and he goes, "Leave Effie alone, she's working." Then Uncle Ruckus got mad because he was seen being a creep and stormed off. Because listen up, creeps. We can see you. This man would use corporate polite culture to try and have conversations with me. Ruckus, your ass does not need to talk to me about the weather. No, I don't want to watch the game because I don't like sports. No, I don't want to go to your church. No, I don't want to look into the music artist that you told me to look into. Stop. Fucking stop. We can actually fucking see you. And this is my problem. These predators will throw the rock and hide your hand because they fear rejection. They will dance on the line of appropriate and inappropriate because they're trying to gauge how far you'll allow them to go before you start shouting, "Get the absolute fuck away from me." But when we do shout, that's when they hide. "Oh, I was just trying to be your friend. I was just making conversation." Ruckus, shut your ass. Coming up to my desk because you came up to my desk because you want to look at this beat mug and these pretty ass titties. Predators think that they're smarter than everybody. And the fact is, you're not smarter than me, because this is where he fucked up. At that point, I was reporting stuff to my manager just to have official documentation. So after he pressed his 2-inch micro penis on my arm, I kept my distance because I knew in my heart of hearts that if I brought up that incident, nobody would have believed me. So I just ignored him. I literally ignored his presence and would not acknowledge him. And then I stopped like being at my desk. I would leave every day for lunch. I would ask the women in the office, like I'd Slack them or Skype them or Teams or whatever fucking means of communication we're using. I'd be like, "Hey, can you come up to my desk and talk with me about anything so that we can deter Uncle Ruckus from speaking to me?" So he notices and he starts to get upset that he no longer has access to me. So he starts to do weird ass shit. Like he would go to the restroom when he saw me replacing calendars outside the conference rooms or doing whatever job I was doing. He would go and wait inside the restroom and pretend that he was walking out as I was walking back to my desk to try and corner me. And he would wait around my desk while I was checking the mail downstairs or picking up packages to ask me a question. Questions that he already knew the answer to. Like, "Oh, are we allowed to use FedEx to ship?" Bitch. You know good and goddamn well that goes against fucking company policy. I had to tell one of my male coworkers, who was one of my good friends, I said, "Yo, like, stop coming up to my desk, because he is now using it as cover to hang around as much as you do. And that's not okay." What got this man to stop harassing me was the fact that he deliberately took a laptop off of my desk that was returned by an ex-employee. So I'm walking around the office and I get a notification that they just delivered a package, that FedEx delivered a package or whatever. But where is it? So I'm checking the delivery log and I see this Negro's signature. And I'm literally confused because I'm like, it's not unlikely that employees would help and sign for packages, but you leave it at my desk. So I'm like, why would this man sign for this laptop and not put it at my desk? So I'm with one of my homegirls and she's helping me look for it. And this short ass neck bone backwoods black neck redneck came up to my motherfucking desk and said, "Oh, is baby Effie looking for her widow package? Well, if you want your package, you have to come by my desk and talk to me." Girl, When I tell you, I became a white woman. I became a Karen, honey. The Negro woman was too stunned to speak. So I became a white woman. Me and my coworker looked at each other so fucking confused. And then he says, oh, since you're going to be a drama queen about it. And he literally put on this voice as well, like the little baby Elmer Fudd voice. That's what was also so creepy about it. Oh, since you're going to be a drama queen about it, I'll come bring you your package. Girl, I ain't never called the manager so fast before in my life. Because we had an explicit policy that no one except HR, IT, office management, or the executives were allowed to pick up laptops from my desk, because there was a time before my time there where an employee was stealing laptops. So when they finally told him, they said, hey, don't go up to this desk anymore. Don't pick up company property. You are in a lot of trouble, sir. This is grounds for firing. We're not going to fire you, but just don't touch property on the desk of office management. That's what scared him. He got in trouble for touching company property. Not because he was harassing me. Not because he was inappropriately standing in my personal space or sharing stories about the literal orgies that he attended. But because he picked up company property. That is what made me sick. Nobody cared how uncomfortable he made me or reprimanded him for having inappropriate workplace conversation. Nobody cared that he was being overtly sexual towards me. They only cared about the disruption of work and capital. He was on the dev team and he coded and solved critical tickets for clients. So he had job security in that regard. But when his black ass picked up that laptop, they said, get your black country ass back into the fields and work. And like me? Oh, I was just an afterthought. There was no employee training about sexual harassment. There was no sensitivity training. Not that I think that those trainings actually like work, but it's the fact that they didn't even pretend to care. They couldn't even be bothered to do some bullshit performance about, we respect women in the workplace and we respect the blacks. There was nothing. There's nothing. There's no place for harassment here at our workplace. Cause when you're here, you're family. None of that bullshit. Just capitalism and vibes. I did my best to handle the situation because I was paying big girl bills for the first time in my life. Car note, car insurance. I needed that little funky $16 an hour. But my point is, this is the social climate where people expect you to put up with sexual harassment because of a paycheck. We are all being abused by capitalism and we think this shit is normal. No, the fuck it's not. I refused to accept that reality. I was so afraid of standing up for myself because I didn't want to get my car repoed. I didn't want my stress or my financial stress to now start stressing out my parents about car notes. And for a while, I did put up with his harassment with a smile because I was so afraid of losing what little scraps that I got. But at some point, like I said, that humanity kicked in and I had to stick up for myself. The day he took that laptop was the day I made up my mind that if I lost this job, then it would be okay. I would rather lose a job than lose my life because of the wild fantasies of a creepy old man. Because one thing about it, I'm not above a call center job. I was not above working at the grocery store. I knew that I had what it took to find another job after I decided to power myself up. But it's the people around me that projected their fears onto me because they knew how the world worked from their own experiences. They tried to help me by getting me to accept that this is how the world was and that I just needed a deterrent. But I knew what I needed was a different world. I knew that shit back then. And I know it now because every day we hear about the violence in the workplace, in the justice system, in our schools, churches, mosques, and even in our home. At some point, we have to get to a place where it's no longer acceptable to live like this. So my question is, what's it gonna take, girl? What's it gonna take for us to collectively really begin our decolonization as a whole? I personally believe that we have to start with ourselves first. Like, I try to ask myself this question, how have you tried to unlearn your colonial capitalist conditioning? What does that look like to you? For me, it's reading, watching YouTube videos and essays from grassroots organizers who share the same values, wearing a mask when I'm in public, confronting my own internal biases, right? It also looks like constantly challenging the status quo. We have to kill the cop and the liberal inside of us. And that part is actually so important because I'm telling you right now, linking up with people who only want to recreate capitalism for themselves, those are not the people we should be listening to. Babes, an LLC is not going to stop Cop City. If your go-to answer for decolonizing your mind is voting for the Democrats or Republicans, boy, do I have news for you, bitch. You cannot vote your way out of fascism. The moment someone tells me, oh, we just need financial literacy, I'm turning off my brain and I'm no longer listening to you, because I know from that statement alone, you don't have shit to offer me. I'm mentally excommunicating you, because we as a whole need to understand that trying to game the system as a reaction to the death and violence around you doesn't protect you. It only prolongs your inevitable death underneath the empire. The shift must start within ourselves. One of the biggest ways that I've shifted was letting go of capitalist dreams of financial security. Like, I was running myself ragged trying to get tech certs and trying to climb the corporate ladder. When I tell you that corporate culture is a soul killer, we are sitting at these silly little jobs doing fake work. This shit doesn't fucking matter. We should be growing food for each other and taking naps after a harvest. When I realized that I was gnawing at my own soul because I was trying to live up to someone else's dream for me, yeah, life got so much fucking easier, because I was like, we need to let go of this capitalist performance productivity and stop trying to base my value as a human based on how productive or how much money I'm making. Once I made that evaluation, my mental health got so much better. When we buy into their narratives of hyper individualism and bootstrap mentality, we are suffering ourselves. Having capitalist values at the core of society creates environments where child predators flourish. Capitalist values also allow for people in positions of power within the system to get away with abuse. It allows these abusers to rebrand themselves when people get wise to their abuses, and when that image of them abusing people threatens the flow of capital, they can effectively rebrand themselves. But when we shift our ideas to value community and humanity, we can destroy harmful ideologies and the systems that create them. Capitalist values allow people to become stands and have a false sense of community about celebrities. Mind you, these are the same celebrities themselves who are rapists, murderers, and child abusers and child molesters, and some of them become presidents. People are glorifying celebrities because we are conditioned to aspire to that life of having millions of dollars and being able to get away with whatever you want, no matter who you harm. They call that freedom, and I call that rotting of the soul. Freedom is not being able to do whatever you want. Freedom is having food, housing, water, and education be basic human rights. Freedom is community building. It's ensuring that no child would ever be left to die of hunger. It's making sure we can take care of the planet because it's the only one we have. When we shift these values within ourselves and build community and collective power, we will be unstoppable. We won't be living in a world ruled by fear of losing your home or not being able to afford medical treatment, because we'll live in a world that values human life. These people in power will be afraid to harm us because they will fear us. Our children will be protected, and they won't be pimped out to a world full of predators through entertainment. You won't be forced to keep that job where your manager is harassing you because you're living in fear that you might become homeless. And I'm going to just say this right now, because I know that inner saboteur, shout out to RuPaul and her fracking, that inner saboteur, that capitalist cop inside your head right now is saying, shut up, fluid flower. This is just a dream world. It's not realistic. It's human nature for people to be evil. I want you to ask that inner saboteur. Ask your fucking inner saboteur, who dreamed up this world? If the powers that be and those before them were able to dream of a cold, dehumanizing world that only allowed us to live in a perpetual state of slavery, who is that inner saboteur who has been conditioned to have a limited imagination to tell me anything? There is a podcast called Upstream Podcast that was created by Della Z. Duncan and Robert Ramin Raymond. And in this recent episode, a writer and activist by the name of Hadass Thier was interviewed. And they said something that really stuck out to me in this snippet that you can find on their Instagram page. Hadass says, and I quote, if you were to condense all of human history into a 24-hour period, capitalism takes up the last 3 minutes. Relative to the span of human history, it's a relatively new system. It doesn't mean that it is very new and that it's not fully entrenched, which capitalism unfortunately has become entrenched globally and is very adaptable. But it does mean that capitalism had a beginning, that it's not something that is just intrinsic to human nature, where human beings just love to barter and love of to organize ourselves into hierarchies, and that's just not the case for the majority of human history. Capitalism did have a beginning, and it can have an end, end quote. I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired of turning on the news and seeing Black, Brown, and Indigenous people in America be murdered. I am tired of the social documentaries revealing the dark truth about any particular industry. I'm tired of experiencing the lack of community in this world and the lack of humanity in this world. And it's not going to change unless we change it. My goal for us on this platform is to have a continual progression and take the baby steps we can to organize ourselves and then each other. Because a better world is possible. We have to be the one to take the vital steps of shifting our values. And it doesn't have to be like this huge performance in the early aughts of you trying to decolonize and shift your values, right? I'm not calling on people to quit their jobs and homestead on native land, right? But we can start with removing the capitalist principles from your brain. That job doesn't give a fuck about you, baby girl. I see you working hard as hell. Calm the fuck down. It's time to steal company time and poop at work for an hour while you're on the clock. Remove the hyper individualism from your heart. There are grassroots organizations that need us to volunteer or offer our services. We can read books together. We can encourage one another. We can be gentler. We can be kinder to one another. We can protect each other physically, mentally, emotionally. That's what we need right now. Each other. When we start doing these things inside of ourselves and then translate that to how we live our lives, it will be easier for us to tear down this world and build something new. I promise you, when we commit to these humanitarian values, there will be less quiet on the set documentaries. There will be far less opportunities for children and other vulnerable people to be exploited and abused. Bye, y'all. I'm out this bitch.